I appreciate the good singing. I didn't even know they were going to sing that song, but I like it. I like that song. When I lay my Isaac down. And, you know, I believe that song's right. We all have an Isaac standing in our way. And, you know, I believe so many times the average Christian, we're so obsessed and we're so consumed with the blessings that we forget who the blesser really is. And I don't want my blessings ever to get in front of my blesser. And that blesser is God Almighty. And I know the Bible says every good gift cometh down from above. And I don't want to lose sight of the blesser amongst all the good things falling down. Now, I believe the devil can bless people. The devil can give people all those things and comfort them. And they'll never serve God. They'll never just set out on the trail and blaze a trail for God. And I believe so many times the devil just kind of blesses all these things and does all these things just to comfort. And they just grow complacent. Very few people is willing to just push all that back and say, Lord, I'm not satisfied. I want you. I want your touch. I want your stamp of approval in my life. Lord, I want your stamp of approval in my church. Lord, I want your stamp of approval in my ministry. Lord, I want your stamp of approval in my marriage. Lord, I want your stamp of approval in all things in my life. Very few people get to that place. God, help me to get to that place. God, help me. I need his help. I can't do it on my own. I need him. I love him tonight. And I appreciate y'all coming back. Y'all all didn't lay out for watch a Super Bowl tonight. We'll try to be out at a reasonable time and watch the 49ers lose. I got a few amens out of that. I knew I'd get a couple. I thought revival's going to break out with that statement. But it's good to smile in the Lord's house. I appreciate y'all coming back. It was a good message this morning. Let's pray for the individuals that raised their hand that was lost. Let's pray that God will continue to convict them and deal with them, and they would come to know him before it's everlasting too late. There's a correction in the bulletin from this morning. It said the 22nd of the month that we'd be putting the treat bags together. It's actually on the 23rd. The 23rd, which is a Sunday, directly after the service, we'll be putting together the treat bags. So you put that down in your calendar, put it down in your phone, don't forget it. The 23rd, which is a Sunday directly after the service, any of the youth will be putting together the treat bags. We'll have lunch provided, and afterwards we'll play some games and have a little bit of fun. But we're going to put together 1,500, so that would take a while if it was just me and a couple others. But if you can and you're able, we'd love to have you, and we'll put them together, and we'll have lunch, and we'll have a good evening, all right? It's good to be saved. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. The message this morning, it was several pages of notes, but I didn't even get through it all. But the message tonight is just that. I see some people smiling. That's still an hour and 45 minutes right there. So, man, now that smile went to a frown, but I'm just kidding. I won't be long tonight. I know y'all have work tomorrow and you're tired and everything, but I'll be as brief as the Lord allow me to be. But Matthew chapter number 14, will please stand and we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 14, we'll begin reading verse number 22. Matthew 14, verse number 22, and the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I'll stop reading right there. And with God's help tonight, I want to preach a simple message on the thought of get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you once again. Lord, thank you for your lessons. Lord, thank you for the good service that we had this morning. Lord, thank you for the good godly singing that we heard tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, just Lord, bless the reading of your word. Lord, we know that you said it would not return void unto you. Lord, accomplish, Lord, that which you had said. And God, I pray, just anoint me with fresh oil. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to stand and preach. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you see me, use me again tonight. Lord, I pray you anoint me, Lord. I pray, Lord, just hide me behind that cross. Lord, I pray, Lord, just cover me in the cloak of my calling. Lord, I pray, Lord, just touch my lips. Lord, they're nothing but clay. Lord, I pray, Lord, just help me, Lord, speak through me, Lord, now. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just see, Lord, I must decrease. decrease, Lord, but you must increase in my life. And Lord, I pray, Lord, they would see no man, Lord, save Jesus only tonight. And God, I pray, Lord, they wouldn't see Chris, Lord, they'd hear Christ, Lord, coming through. Lord, I pray, Lord, and you would just have your will, have your way. Lord, I pray just bind the enemies of hell tonight. Lord, I pray just have your work be accomplished. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's any that's lost, Lord, save them. Lord, if there's any that's backsliding, God, I pray just chastise them, Lord, draw them back into the fold. And God, I pray we'll be careful to give you all honor and glory. Lord, it's not about us. Lord, it's not about any of us, Lord, but it's all about you and your Son. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just do your will. Lord, let it be performed tonight. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. As I began studying after church this morning on the thought, I don't know how many of y'all took a nap today? All right, there's several people. Probably more people probably took a nap than they prayed today, but I ain't going to go there. But I took a nap too. And I was laying down. God kind of put this thought on my heart, and I woke up, and it was still there, and I studied it out, began diving into the treasures of God's Word and what He was showing me. And we're going to be talking about Peter. If you know your Bible, what happened? Peter was there on the boat, and here all the disciples were. He pushed away the multitudes, and he went along to pray up on the mountain. He said, y'all going to go over there? And he said, you just go on. He sent the multitudes away. He sent the disciples across, and here we see the wind and the sea, and everything was boisterous. I mean, just a storm come up, and they were in the middle of that storm, and the disciples was in the ship, but Jesus was not with them. You see, Jesus come walking on the fourth part of the night. He comes the fourth watch of the night. Jesus was walking on the sea, coming to them, and he was out there, and the disciples saw him, but they was afraid. Why? Because the Bible says they thought it was a spirit. They cried out for fear. But you see what Jesus did. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You see, whenever we hear His voice, I believe all the storms and the cares and the things that we carry about our daily walk, they diminish. They go away if we could just hear His voice. I don't know about you, but how many times in our life that storms came our way. We didn't ask for that storm, but those storms came in our life. Those trials came, and we knew that we needed help. We knew that we couldn't make it on our own. We knew that there was no hope. There was no peace. There was no joy within us. It had to come from the Lord. It had to come from Him. So whenever we can hear His voice, I'm glad that He can still speak peace in the midst of a troubled sea in our lives today. I'm thankful for the Lord being God. I'm thankful for all the things that He does. But here you can see the disciples were on that boat, and they were going to the other side, and a storm came up, and Jesus was walking on there, and it says they became afraid. That was just the introduction. Here's the message. Get out of the boat. You see, Peter was the only one that was willing to get out of the boat. He was the only one getting out of the boat. You know what that is? That's getting closer to Christ. You see, he didn't just want to get out of the boat and go to the land, did he? He didn't say, Lord, let me get out of the boat and go over there to the shore. Let me get out of the water. No, if you look at your Bible, the Bible says, Peter said, let me come unto you. Lord, I want to go to you. I don't care about going over to the land. I don't want to go over there out in deeper water. I don't want to go in the shallow water. Lord, I want to go to you. He said, I want to get out of where I'm at, and I'm going closer to you. You know, I wonder if he was out there in the deep water. I wonder if the shore was back there and Jesus was out there and he said, you know what? I don't know about you, but this boat's rocking, the winds are blowing, the waves are up here, and this boat's getting ready to go under. And I'm going to ask the Lord to go back there and go put my feet on dry land. And he said, no, I want to go out there with him. I'm going to go out there in the middle of the deep with my Lord. Amen. You see what happened? Whenever you get out of the boat, you get closer to the Lord. Amen. Closer to Christ by getting out of the boat. You know what? Very few people are willing to get out of the boat today. Just like back in this story, you know what happened? Only one man was willing to get out of the boat. Right. You know, I believe those statistics would be the same for the average Christian willing to get out of the boat. You say, preacher, what's a boat? The boat's your comfort zone. The boat's your personal walk. The boat is where you at in your walk with Christ. You say, I believe it's not talking about getting out of the boat, getting to Christ to be saved. I'm not talking about that. Then disciples were already called before they got in the boat, right? The Bible says, come after me and I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says they forsook all and went after him. Even Peter said, Lord, what are we going to get? Lord, we left it all. What are we going to get? And Jesus said, well, you who left fathers and lands and all this and that. And how many, the list goes on and on. Mothers and brothers and sisters and this and fathers. He said, 100-fold and eternal life. That sounds like a pretty good deal. Amen. Peter sat back and said, Lord, we forsook it all. We ain't got nothing. And Jesus said, no, you got something. You just can't see it yet. He said, it's just on the other side. I believe the Bible says, lay up not for yourself treasure with moth and dust, rust that corrupt. You know what? We're laying up treasures on the other side. And you see what Peter was doing? He said, Lord, I want to get closer to you. I wonder what the average heart of the people in today, in today's church, I wonder what our heart would say. I wonder how many people is willing to get out of the boat. I wonder how many people are willing to draw closer to Christ. How many people? I tell you, people, it's a little quiet. That's all right. You see, people confuse quietness with deadness. Sometimes God just speaks softly. Well, preacher, God don't speak like that. It's going to be hooping and hollering. Now, if you read your Bible, sometimes God's in a small, still voice. You see, God still can do those things. Now, this is more of a teaching message than a shout-her-out message. Does that make sense? But getting out of the boat, getting out of your comfort zone, getting out of where you are, the complacency, wanting to draw closer to Him, even if it means getting further away from land. Even if it means if it looks like it's going to cost you more. Even though if it looks like, man, it's safety and security is back there on the shore. I mean, I can see the green pasture back there. I can see the sea. I can see, I mean, all that green stuff. That's safety. That's security. But out there, I can't see. It's dark and it's drear. And I mean, them are the waves and it just looks troubled out there, John. But you know what? Peter said, if Jesus is out there, I want to go with Him. I believe so many people today in the average church and average wealth of Christ are saying, well, Lord, it looks pretty good. And I know You're out there, but it looks a little bit safer back here. It looks a little bit secure back here. Lord, I'm just good right here. Why don't You come to me? You know, Peter could have said, Lord, if it's really You, come to me. No, but you see, Peter said, no, I ain't going to ask Him to come to me. I'm going to go to Him. He said, Lord, if it's You, let me come to You. You know, he could have said, Lord, come to us. But he said, no, I want to come to You. I wonder how many people today would be willing to say, Lord, I want to get out of that just that rut. That just spiritual, I mean, that's walk, that complacency, that just day in, day out, the everyday walk. Lord, I want to draw closer to You. Lord, I want You to do something with my life. Lord, I want You to just take control of everything, every aspect of my life. Lord, I surrender all. Lord, here's my basket. The youth choir sings that song. It's not much, I know, but Lord, here's everything. Lord, if You can use it, would You use it? You say, preacher, You're not much. I know I'm not much and You're not either. But you know what? God can make much of us. God can do much with little. Little is much when God's in it. You know, it's unbelievable what God can do with a crucified and a surrendered and obedient life. Did you know that? It's unbelievable what God can do with those things. You see, God uses little things. You look about that little lad. He was out there and he said, Lord, we ain't got nothing to eat. 200 penny worth is not enough to feed all these men. Jesus said, He said, maketh men sit down, for He knew Himself what He was going to do. He said, take and break. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to the disciples to distribute. You know what happened? Everybody was filled. They have 12 baskets remaining. Each one of the disciples had a basket. And it all started with a little bag with a little boy's lunch. Can I tell you, God can use little things. God can use little things. Well, preacher, well, what else can God use little? All throughout the Scripture, you look. That woman who didn't have but a pot, she said, they came to take my boys. Ain't nothing. He said, well, you got, I just got this little vessel. He said, why don't you go and just get all them other pots. Just pour it all out. And you know what happened? She filled them up. Think about that widow woman, that son. Man of God went over there and said, what are you doing? She said, well, haven't you heard there's a drought and we ain't got no food, no water? I'm just going to make my son and me a little cake and we're going to eat and die. That's the end of it. He said, well, go ahead and do what Thou commanded. He said, go ahead and do what You're going to say You're going to do, but make me a cake first. You know what she did? She went over there and scooped up that meal. She went over there and started pressing it together. She baked it. She put it in the fire. She got it out of that oven. You know what she did? She took it to the man of God and said, here You go. And then she said, you know what? I know there wasn't but a handful in there. I'll go back over there and just see if see what the man of God, see if God was faithful. I don't even know if He is, because you know what she said? She said, as Thou commandest, as Thou God, as Thou Lord. She didn't say mine. She said, Thou, Yours. She said, I'm going to go over there and just look. She went over there and stuck her hand in. You know what she found? She found a handful. She went over there and said, I guess the Lord is faithful, but I wonder if He can do it again. She went back over there and stuck her hand back in there again. You know what she had, John? She had another handful. Each time she scooped one out, God threw two in. She went over there and scooped it out again. Well, God's faithful again. God's faithful again. God's faithful again. You know what? You can't outgive God. If you just keep on putting God first in your life, you know what? God will take care of you. It's unbelievable what I can, if I could have the liberty to share with you what all God's done in the past year with my life. If I could just expose everything on what God's done, it would blow your mind. Why? Because it blew my mind. It's untelling what I could just share with you. Time and time and time again, the Lord showed up and He met the need. God took care of me. God provided. God was faithful. I tell you, it just strengthens my own faith. It strengthens my own life. Whenever I took a chance, and I didn't take a chance, but it was faith. I took a step of faith. And you know what? I felt good for a couple of days. But you know what, John? The devil showed up. My flesh started. I started listening to the doubts. It was in the back of my mind saying, you know what? Man, that was foolish. What I did, it doesn't make sense. I made a mistake. I don't know. Did I make the right decision? I know God was doing that, but is that right? That sounds foolish. I tell you, people, I've heard everything. Even some of the people you think should be for me, they were against me. But you know what? The Lord was still for me. The Lord still provided. The Lord still met the need. You know what? The Lord's faithful. The Lord knows exactly what He's doing. I tell you, you know what happened? Because of that faith, that little faith I had, it was tested. And you know what happened? It grew.
Amen.
And therefore, the next test I had, I said, Lord, You met it again. And You did it before. Lord, can You do it again? And you see what happened with that faith? It was tested again. It was put in the fire again. You know what happened? The Lord showed up, met the need. And the next time I had a problem, you know what? I looked back and said, Lord, You did it then. You did it there. And Lord, I'm dumb enough to believe that You'll do it again. And you know what happened? The Lord did it again.
Amen.
I tell you, I wish I could share with you everything what God's done in my life. I hope that you have some stories you could share with me about how God just took care of you. How God just met the need. God just provided. Well, God just showed up. It seems like everything was just falling apart. But then, there was God. God just walked in and everything just, every problem just solved. You know why? That's God being God. I'm thankful that He still does that. You know, I believe that so many Christians, they believe that God just was a miracle working God just in the Bible times. No, I have to tell you, miracle after miracle, God working in my own life, in my time. I'm glad God still works miracles in the day. He's not just a God of previous miracles. You know what? He's a God that does miracles today. And you know what? He'll be a God that does miracles tomorrow. Why? Because He's God and He's never going to change. He said, I'm the Lord God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. I'm thankful when we're around that throne, He's still going to be God. And He's not going to change. But you can see here what Peter is doing. Peter said, I'm going to get out of that boat. Let me tell you these few things and I'll be done. I'm conscious of time. Things you'll face in order to get closer to Christ. Some things that you'll face and have to overcome if you want to get closer to Christ. Number one is the fear. The fear of the unknown. No doubt you think about Peter here sitting in that boat. That boat was just rocking back and forth. And I don't know about you, but I've been on a couple deep sea fishings. And I mean, the weather was fine, but that boat was still rocking. That boat was still, I mean, we kind of, Jesse and your dad and Beth, I mean, we could tell you a story how our boat just about went under. And I believe someone said, Lord, save us. But, you know, we didn't go under. The Lord, He spared our lives that day. But, you know, that weather was still good, but the boat was still rocking. And I can't imagine being out there in the middle of a storm. And then the disciples were being fearful. Not only that, they thought they saw a spirit walking on the water. That would be even more terrifying. But can I tell you, we'll have some fears. The fear of the unknown. They didn't really, as soon as they saw that spirit, they didn't know it was Jesus Christ. They didn't know it was Him. They didn't know it was the Lord. You see, there was a question. I said, Lord, is it You? Who is that out there? I see it. You know what? You can always operate on your feelings. You can always operate on what you think and what you assume. I tell you, when you assume things, you're in for trouble. I tell you, you can trust the Word of God, but you can never trust your flesh. You can never trust your emotions. You see, your flesh will change. Your emotions will change. But I'm glad that Word of God is settled in heaven. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. The Bible says the grass withers and the flower fadeth away, but the Word of God standeth sure. It's going to last forever. It's settled in heaven. You know, you can't trust your emotions. You can't trust your feelings. But I'm glad you can trust God. You can trust God's Word. It's not going to change. But you see, the fear of the unknown, the storm, the spirit. Peter, they didn't understand. But you know what, Peter said, I'm still going to take a chance. I'm still going to operate on faith. You see, I want to get to where the Lord is. In order to get to where He is, I'm going to have to overcome that fear. You see what's going to have to happen? Your faith is going to have to overcome your fear. Your faith is going to have to be greater than your fear. You see, if your fear is always greater than your faith, you know what's going to happen? You'll never do anything for God. You'll never do anything in your life. Why? Because it's always this way. But you see, whenever that faith gets higher and that fear gets lower, you know what's going to happen? That's when business picks up. That's when God starts moving in your life. That's when God starts opening doors. That's when God starts blessing. God opens up the windows of heaven. Why? Because you're operating in faith and you're not operating in fear. Does that make sense tonight? God help us to increase our faith and decrease our fear. You see, the Bible says perfect love casteth out all fear. I tell you, fear is the opposite. Fear is unbelief. Fear is doubting. Fear is questioning. They could have said, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I just don't believe. Lord, I just don't understand how it's going to happen. Lord, this is rocking back and forth, that storm. And Lord, I don't even know if that's You out there. I just don't understand. But Peter said, I don't care about that. That's the Lord, and I'm going out there where He's at. You see, we're going to have to get over, to get out of the boat. The things we'll have to face to get closer to Christ, we're going to have to overcome the fear of the unknown. Not only that, can I tell you something else you'll have to overcome? The fear of failure. The fear of being a failure. I tell you, whenever you get out of the boat, you know what? You might not sink, you will sink. You're going to sink, you're going to go under. But you know what? I'm glad the Lord's still right there by our side. And all we have to do is just look up and say, Father, would you help me? Daddy, I need your help. Lord, would you save me? And you know what happened? He said, Son, hand me your hand. And he jerks us right up out of that water. We're starting to sink. We're starting to go under. You know what, John? Just say, Daddy, help me. You know what he does? Scoops me up. It's a strong hand. And says, here, I'll help you. It's a little bit over you, but you know what? I'm still walking on the water. It's still under my feet. You're about consumed, but you know what? I'm still walking on the water. I'm glad he still walks on the water in our lives. Can I tell you, there's no storm. There's nothing that will come in our life that will ever take him by surprise. There'll nothing that ever surprise him. He'll walk every storm. He'll walk every storm. I'm glad that he still can do that today. You're going to have to get over the fear of being the unknown. The fear of failure. You see, Peter sank, didn't he? He walked out there, and the Bible says whenever he started looking at the winds and the sea, and they were boisterous, you know what happened? The Bible says he began to sink. Then he said, Lord, save me. He called on the Lord. You see, I'm glad he called on the right person. He didn't look and said, boys, can you help me in the boat? He didn't turn that way. He turned that way. He turned to the one who can help. I tell you, I'm glad whenever the storms come in my life, I'm not going to turn to the church crowd. I'm not going to turn to the brethren. I'm going to turn to the blesser. I'm going to turn to God. I tell you, I believe so many people are running to the church. They're running to the pastor. They're running to the brethren. If you're not careful, they ain't going to be able to help you. But I'm glad the Lord can help us. I'm glad he can walk the storms in our life. You see, they were all in the same storm together, but you know what? God was outside that storm. God was just walking on it. They were walking in it. They were operating in it. But you see, the Lord wasn't in that storm. He was walking on the storm. I'm glad he was still walking on that water. We're going to have to get over the fear of failure. We're going to have to get over the fear of the unknown. Not only that, let me tell you this. The things to get closer to Christ, you know what you're going to have to face? Walking alone. Did you know that tonight? Walking alone. You see, there's people in that boat. All the disciples, there's a group of men in that boat. Peter said, I'm going to go to where the Lord's at. I want to be out there where he's at. Bible says in verse number 28, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. You see, whenever he left everybody in that boat. He said, I'm going alone. I tell you, wouldn't it be good today if some boys and girls or men or women would say, you know what? If no one else goes with me, I'm going with the Lord. I want to draw closer to him. I'm tired of just being in the boat. I'm tired of just being together. I want to get closer to the Lord. And if my mom won't go, if my dad won't go, if my brother, if my sister, if my husband, if my wife, if the person in front of me, the person behind me, the person to my right or my left, if they ain't going to go with God, I'm still going to go with God. I tell you, wouldn't it be nice today if someone would say, you know what, I'm going to get over my fear of failure. I'm going to get over the fear of the unknown. I'm going to get over the fear of walking alone. I'm going to walk alone. I'm going to walk with him. You see, Peter started out alone, but you know what happened? At the end of the story, you know what happened? He's walking hand in hand with the Lord. You see, you might walk alone for a little while in the storm, but you know what? In the end, you'll be walking hand in hand with the Savior. Wouldn't it be a little while just to suffer, walk a little while alone? And the Lord just said, here's my hand. I tell you, whenever you're holding his hand, it don't matter whose hand you're not holding. I tell you, you're just holding his hand, just walking with the Lord. I'm glad he can still hold our hand in this walk, in the daily walk, just hand in hand with Christ. Walking everywhere we go. I tell you, there's no peace greater than that. There's no joy. There's no comfort. I tell you, you can't get that from the world. You only get that from him. I'm glad that we can still walk hand in hand, arm in arm, with our Savior. You know what? Because Jesus was walking on the water, you know what? Peter was walking on the water. Because that storm wasn't greater than Christ. You know what? That storm wasn't greater than Peter. You know what? That storm in our lives, the trials and the tribulations, all those things that come in our life and come in your life, they're greater than us. But you know what? When we're with him, they're not greater than us. Why? Because we're with him. I'm glad he can be with us. And we can be hand in hand with him. Things you'll face. Can I tell you, you have to give her the fear of the unknown, the fear of failure, the fear of alone. Peter walked alone, but soon he was hand in hand with the Savior. Can I tell you, the fear you'll have to overcome is leaving the crowd, leaving others behind. Can I tell you, the disciple could have been in that boat and said, you know what? Why don't you come with me, John? Why don't you come with me? Why don't we go out there together? Why don't you ask the Lord if you want it? You see, I'm going to give you something real deep right here. I went and checked the Greek and the Hebrew. I checked all them other. You know what? You know why Peter walked on the water? If you're taking notes, write this down. You know why Peter was the only one that walked on water? He was the only one that desired to walk on the water. He was the only one that asked. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. You ask amiss. Peter said, you know what? If Jesus is out there walking on the water and he's out there, I'm not happy being in this boat. I want to go out there with it. I want to be where Jesus is at. So you know what Peter did? Peter said, I know that sounds funny. I know I'm a human and he's God. And I know he can do all things. But you know what? I wonder if he'd give me the ability just to do what he's doing. I wonder if I could walk on water. I wonder if I could just be just like Christ. So you know what Peter said? Peter said, if the Lord can do it, you know what? I can do it. If the Lord can, if he's walking on the water, I believe I can ask him to, he'll let me walk on water. So you know what Peter did? Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee. You know what Jesus said? He didn't say, well, Peter, you're going to have to do this, this, and this. You're going to have to make sure you keep your this. No, he said, just come. He didn't say, you'll have to, hey, whenever you get out there, it's going to be like that. He didn't tell him how it was going to be. You know what? The Lord didn't even say, now, Peter, if you're not careful, you're going to sink. All Jesus said was, come. You know what? You can miss the Lord talking if you're not listening real close. Did you know that? He just spoke one word. He didn't write a whole book. He didn't give him a whole paragraph. He didn't preach unto him. All he said was, the Peter said, look in your Bible. It says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee. And you know what the Lord said? Come. That's all he said, just one word, come. You know, I believe, Peter, you think about that storm. The Bible says it was boisterous. I mean, it was just rocking back and forth, the wind and the waves. You think about them waves just beating in that boat. If he wasn't listening real close, he would have missed the Lord saying, come. But you know what? Because he was listening, because he was looking, he heard the Lord talk. I'm glad if we're looking for the Lord and we're listening to the Lord, you know what? We can hear him, no matter how big the storm is. I wonder how many times in our life the storms came in our life. And we were so focused on the storm. We said, Lord, would you help me? The Lord said, I will. This is what you need to do. But yet we were so focused on the storm, we heard the storm over the Savior. I tell you, Peter, he didn't hear the storm. He heard the Savior. And he heard him say one word, come. You know what Peter did? He said, I'm going to operate on that one word. He said, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to walk on that water. It was just one word. You know, Jesus didn't give him assurance. Yeah, you can walk on the water. Hey, you can do it, Peter, come on. He just said, come. I wonder if Peter thought, well, I'm going to have to swim to him. I'm going to have to get out there. I'm going to have to swim. I'm going to have to paddle out to Christ. But no, he said, I'm going to operate. I'm going to just see. Can you imagine him taking that first step? BJ, I wonder how, what Peter did. He got over there and he said, I don't know if I'm going to just jump in or if I'm just going to try to take one step and see what happens, or I just don't know. You know, I believe Peter knew exactly he was going to walk on that water. I believe Peter went over there, he thrung that leg over there and he just started walking. And he just kept on walking until the Savior. Before too long, he said, wow, I'm doing what Christ is doing. I'm just like him. Look. And you know what? He started looking around. He got his eyes off the Master. And you know what happened? He began to sink. He was focused on his storm. You know what? The Lord can deliver you out of the storm. And as soon as you get the victory, if you're not careful, you'll start thinking, man, I'm doing something great. I accomplished this. And you know what happens? You'll soon start to sink within the storm. I tell you, it's not you getting out of the storm. It's the Lord getting you out of the storm. It's not your faith. It's God's faith He's given you. I tell you, if we're not careful, we can still fail getting out of the storm. I tell you, I don't want to fail coming out of my storm. I tell you, I know it's of the Lord and it's from the Lord. And He's the one that's going to get me out. I tell you, Peter could have said, you know what, boys, I'm walking on the water. Look how great I am. Don't you wish you could be like me? You could have been if you asked. Now, he didn't say any of that. He just started looking around, listening. The Bible says, when he saw, look at the Bible says, verse number 30, it says, but when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He had his eyes on the Christ, but then he had his eyes on the storm. He started to sink. But you know what? He still cried. Look what he said. Lord, save me. And you know what? The Bible says, and in a little while, Jesus stretched forth. I messed up, didn't I? And in a few minutes, a few seconds, and immediately, the Bible says, and immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him. Can you imagine that? Immediately. I believe before Jesus, before Peter's mouth even closed, Jesus' hand was already there. He said, Lord, save me. And there it is. He just picked him up. His Bible says it caught him. He was going under. God just scooped him up. He said, come up here and stand by my side. Isn't that what you wanted? Didn't you want to walk right beside of me? You know what? Sometimes you're going to have to go under before you ever get beside the Lord. Sometimes you have to sink a little bit before you ever start walking arm in arm with the Savior. You see, sometimes that failure will lead to your success. Sometimes God's got to let you go down there. Sometimes God's got to take you to the bottom before he can ever take you to the top. Why? Because you see, Peter could have thought, man, I'm doing it. It's me. I'm the one doing this because of my faith, because I believed. I can do all things. No. Peter said, you know what? The only reason I'm doing this is because of Him. The only reason I'm walking on the water is because of Him. The only reason I'm walking in this, only thing I'm not going under is because of Him. It's not me, it's Him. Can you imagine them walking back into that boat? Them disciples saying, Peter, what happened out there? We couldn't see. He said, I was walking on the water. It wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of who I am. It's because of the man holding my hand. He said, He helped me. It's all because of Him. Can I tell you, whenever you go through a storm, it's going to take the Lord's help. You might sink, but He's going to help you along the way. I tell you, the fear of the unknown, the fear of failure, the fear of walking alone, leaving the crowd, leaving the others in the boat. Did you know Peter was in the minority whenever he got out of the boat? He was the only one getting out of the boat. But you know what? It paid off, didn't it? He walked out there alone. He walked out alone. It was just Peter going out there. But you know what? Whenever Peter got out there, you know, whenever the disciples said, he's going to go out there, he's probably going to have to swim back to the boat alone. No, he didn't swim back alone, did he? He came walking with the Lord. Amen. He went out alone. But he came back holding the Lord's hand. Amen. Sometimes in the middle of your storm, you're going to have to be willing to go out alone. You're going to have to go out there by yourself. Go out there in the fear. Go out there with the unknown. Go out there in the uncalming waters. But you know what? I guarantee you, you'll come back walking hand in hand with the Lord. And it's worth it. Amen. So preach, how do you know that? I've been there before. Amen. I tell you, spiritually, I've walked on water. You know how? Because of Him. I walked in the middle of my storm. Why? Because I desired to get out of the boat. I wanted to walk on water. And you know what, John? The Lord said, come on. And you know what? He helped me through that storm. And you know what? The Lord will help you through that storm if you'd allow Him. I tell you, getting out of the boat, getting closer to Christ, leaving the crowd, being in the minority. But you know what? You'll come back with God. I already said this. A few more and I'll be done. Things you'll face and things you'll have to conquer in order to get closer to Christ. This is a desire to go. You know what? I don't read about all the disciples saying, Lord, can we come to You? Lord, can we all come out there? No, it was only Peter saying, Lord, if it be You, bid me come unto Thee. He said, well, I want to come out there. You know, I wonder if all the disciples said, Lord, can I come out there too? You know what I believe Jesus would have said? Come on. But you see, they were comfortable where they're at. They were comfortable being in the boat. They thought, it's better here in the middle of the storm because my feet's here. I'm safe here. I'm secure here. I just don't know about walking on that water business. I don't know if I really want to serve the Lord or not. I might go over there and put my toes in. I might go over there and put my hands in, but I'm not going out there all the way. I'm still going to hang on to this boat. Can I tell you, a lot of people in the average church, they're in the boat, and they're safe in the boat. They're satisfied in the boat. They're secure in the boat. But you know what? I'm glad there's some men that's willing to climb overboard and just walk out there in the water, walk hand in hand with the Savior. Can I tell you, do you want to get out of that boat? Do you want to draw closer to Christ? Do you want to walk hand in hand with the Savior? Can I tell you, you do things that you'll never believe you could have done. Why? Because He's holding your hand. He'll give you the power to do those things. Peter, he wouldn't have ever done that. Why? Because the Lord was with him. He had the desire to go. Peter asked the Lord and said, Lord, can I do that? The Lord said, you can. Come on. I tell you, if you're in the middle of the storm tonight, why don't you just ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you let me walk on the water? Lord, I know it's getting ready to take me under. Lord, I just can't handle this. Well, it might be your job. It might be your marriage. It might be your family struggle. It might be a personal thing you don't even know. Your family don't even know. Your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents, they might not even know the storm you're in. But you know what? I guarantee you, the Lord knows your hurt. The Lord knows your heart. And the Lord's able to help and fix that wound. He had a desire to go. He had a desire to ask. He said, Lord, would you? Let me give you two more things and I'm done. Peter, in order to walk on that water, he had to get closer. Some things he had to conquer to get closer to Christ. He wasn't worried about friendly fire. He wasn't worried about what the disciples said about him. You know, he probably could have came back to that boat holding the Savior's hand saying, man, they probably see me go under. BJ, they probably see me sink a little bit. And they saw me get soaking wet. And here I am dripping wet. And they knew I went down there. And they're probably going to say, Peter, we told you it wouldn't work out. Peter, we knew you couldn't walk on water. Peter, you was foolish to believe that you could do anything Christ could have done. Peter said, nah, it's all right. I'm going to take that chance. I'm going to trust. I'm going to operate in faith. Lord, I'm going to put it to the test. And Lord, if you can do it, I trust that I can do it with your help. Peter could have said, you know what? I'm just scared that they're going to say something bad about me. They're going to say I can't be done. They're going to say it's not worth it. They're going to say all these things. And you know what, Peter said, I'm just going to sit in this boat. I'm just going to be like the rest of them. Peter said, no, I ain't going to be like the rest of them. He said, I'm going to go with him. If no one else does, I am. And you know what Peter did? He climbed out of the boat. He walked on the water. And even though he sank, you know what? He was still walking hand in hand with the Lord. And he came back. You know what? He didn't come back alone. He came back with the Lord. And you know what? What a story to tell. And look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, what's those next five words? He walked on the water. You see, God allowed Peter to do what he wanted to do. God allowed Peter to do what Christ did, walk on the water. He said, preacher, that ain't much. Can you tell me someone else who walked on the water? Jesus and Peter. That's a pretty big thing, ain't it? Amen. I tell you, spiritually, sit in this boat. I'm just going to be like your storm. God allowed you to walk on the water spiritually in the midst of your storm. Why? If you'd ask him. If you'd say, Lord, would you help me? Lord, I'll come to where you're at. In closing with this, it took action, didn't it? Peter couldn't just sit in the boat and say, Lord, if that's you, bid me come unto you. God said, come on. Peter said, well, I'm just going to sit here. You see, Peter had to get in action. He had to perform. Peter had to go down in the ship. Look what the Bible says. For 29, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You see those action words, go down, come down, to go, walked. Those are all action things. Those are verbs. Those things are taking place, action. You see, Peter didn't just ask. There's an action that had to be performed. I tell you, being in that boat, being in that personal walk with Christ, are you satisfied where you're at? Do you want to get closer to God? You know what, John, I'll just be honest with you. I believe the average Christian and the average church, they're just happy where they're at. They've got fire insurance. They're not going to hell. They're satisfied, and they're just, that's where it's going to be. They don't care if the Lord uses them. They don't care if God will do something great with them. They're just happy they're not going to hell. Can I tell you, I'm happy I'm not going to hell, but you know what? I'm not satisfied. I want God to do something with me. I want God to use my life. I want God to use my ministry. I want the touch of God on my life. I want the stamp of approval of my ministry. I want God to do something great with me, to take me to higher heights, to take me to deeper depths, to just do something. Why? Because He's worth it all. I'm willing to get out of the boat. I'm willing to walk alone. I'm willing to do those things. I'm willing to go beyond the crowd. I'm willing to take the criticism of the brethren. I'm willing to take those things and overaccomplish. I know I'm going to fail, but you know what? I might fail. I might strike out, but you know what? I'll be holding His hand at the end of the day. Amen. You know what? I'll fail, but you know what? I'll be the one holding the hand of the Savior. Amen. And you know what? I don't care. I know I'm a failure. I'll go ahead and admit I'll fail. But you know what? I'm holding His hand. And in the end, is that all that matters? Knowing that Christ is with you. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's worth it. Hallelujah. Do you want God to use you? Hallelujah. Do you want to draw closer to God? I'm being serious now. I'm closing. Do you want to draw closer to God? Well, preacher, I'm satisfied. I'm not going to hell. That's good. I'm not going to hell either. But don't you want a more intimate walk with Christ? Don't you want to just fellowship with Him? I tell you, some of the most, the best time is just fellowship with Christ all alone. Just getting your Bible out, just praying, getting along with just you and God, and Him just flooding your soul. You're just worshiping alone. I tell you, you might have a corporate worship. You might have a worship. You might be able to praise God with a group. But I tell you, how's your private worship? Can you worship God alone? Hallelujah. Preacher, as long as my family's there, I'm good. As long as the pastor's here, as long as we're here, I'm talking about just you and God. How's your walk? How's your worship? How's your praise when it's just you and God? When it's just you and Him driving down the road, does He talk to you? Do you talk to Him? How often do you read your Bible? How often do you pray? When's the last time you prayed and just said, Lord, I just want to spend a little time with you. I'm going to get away from the children. I'm going to get away from the family. I'm going to get away from the wife, the husband. I'm going to turn my phone off. I'm going to shut the laptop off. And Lord, I'm just here with my Bible and just me. Lord, an open heart and an open book. Lord, I just want to talk. Lord, try me. See if there be any wicked thing among me. Lord, how's my heart look? Lord, is there any wicked thing in there? You know what? I guarantee the Holy Ghost will start working. He'll say, well, son, just to speak of it, you could improve a little bit here. You could have done this a little bit better. You erred a little bit here. I tell you, the Holy Ghost does that. Am I the only one the Holy Ghost talks to? I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I tell you, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Why? Because I was there. The Holy Ghost will tell you things. The Holy Ghost will move you. He'll draw you, that desire, that just pulling, that urging. You know what? That's of God. Why? Because it's from God. I tell you, the flesh and the God, it's contrary. It doesn't want to get closer to God. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do. The flesh is prideful. The flesh wants to satisfy itself. The flesh wants to be lazy. The flesh don't want to study. The flesh don't want to pray. But you know what? That's the inner man God saved, John. That's the one God placed inside me. You know what? It says, I want to draw closer to God. I want to pay the price. I want to do those things. It just kind of pulls. Why? It's like a magnet. The inward pull. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad the Holy Ghost pulls me and tugs me and just leads me. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost this morning or this tonight. I tell you, are you willing to get out of the boat? We're all in that boat. That boat can be our salvation. That boat can be our personal walk. But how many people is willing to get out of that boat and walk closer to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. Lord, if it costs me my family, if it costs me my job, if it costs me my relationship, if it costs me anything, Lord, I'm willing to pay that price. In the end, Lord, you're the only thing that matters. It's not about money. It's not about popularity. It's not about fortune and fame. Lord, it's not about any of those things. Lord, it's about you. Lord, it's about, oh, yeah, Lord, you're the center thing in my life. Lord, you're the center of everything. And Lord, I just want to satisfy you. Very few people get to that stage. God help me to be in that stage. God help me to be like Peter. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that talk about Peter and Peter, you know, cutting off the Malchus's ear and Peter doing this and that. Peter saying, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles. And Peter, he got a lot of things wrong. Every once in a while, Peter said something that was right. Jesus was walking by the shore and they said, Lord, who do men say that I am? John, well, some say this, some say Elias, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah, so coming back. They said, who do ye say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you did good. But you know what? My Father told you the answer. You didn't find that out on your own. My Father told you. I tell you, Peter's right when he said that. Peter was right when he was walking on the water. I tell you, you willing to walk on the water? You want to get closer to God? Do you want to do what no man has ever done? I tell you, I believe God's looking for some men and women. God's looking for some boys and girls who's willing to get out of that comfort zone. To just go beyond the norm. Just go beyond the norm of religious activity. Go beyond just singing in the choir. God's looking for some men and women who's willing to walk with Him. God's looking for some men and women that say, you know what? I'm not worried about popularity. I'm not worried about friends. I'm not worried about that big job. I'm not worried about that promotion. I'm not worried about doing this or that. Lord, I'm just worried about pleasing you. Lord, I'm just worried about satisfying you. Lord, I'm seeking you. Lord, I'm hungry after you. Lord, I'm thirsting after you. Lord, I want you in everything. Lord, I want your approval. Very few people get to that stage. I tell you, what about you? You want to draw closer to the Lord? Well, preacher, I'm just too consumed with my job and my kids and sports and this and that. I tell you, your priorities are out of line. I tell you, you know what? So many times God's like number five on the list. Well, we got family, and then we got friends, and we got jobs, and we got this, and we got sports, and then we got, I mean, the list goes on and on. Where's God at on your list? I tell you, God should be number one. And then it really don't matter who's number two. Where's God at on your list? Can I tell you, if God's number one on your list, you know what? You'll be like Peter. You'll be willing to get out of the boat. And if God's not number one on your list, you know what? You'll be like everybody else. Lord, I'm just happy being here, and I'm not getting out of the boat. I shall not be moved. But can I tell you, if you get your priorities straight and you put God number one, you know what's going to happen? You're going to find yourself like Peter saying, Lord, I know everybody else is in the boat, but I'm not just happy because you're not here. And Lord, I don't care who's here. I don't care if my family's here. I don't care if my friends are here. Lord, if you're out there, I'm coming to where you're at. What about you tonight? Are you willing to get out of the boat? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to face those things to get closer to Christ? Let me repeat them. Going over the fear of the unknown, the fear of failure, going alone, leaving the crowd, having the desire to go, willing to have friendly fire, the critiques of the brethren, and the last, having action. Putting forth that go. You know what that is? That's taking a step. Getting out of the boat. Taking a step toward Christ. Are you willing to not take a step toward Christ? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to take a step. I'm willing to take a step toward you. Not a step toward the shore, but a step toward the Savior. As we stand all over the house tonight. I'm done. Get out of the boat. Are you willing to draw closer to Christ? I tell you, it won't be popular. It won't be 75%. It won't be 85%. I don't know how many people it will be. I can't give you a percentage, but you know what? It'll be the minority. Why? Because Peter was the only one. He said, Lord, I'm coming to you. Wouldn't it be good for some men and women today to come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to get out of that boat.